Live from State Street in the heart of Chicago, you are listening to the new The Chicago Bears, ESPN Chicago. And this is Waddle and Sylvie, WMVP, WSHE, HD2, Chicago. A Good Karma Brands radio station.
All right, earlier today at noon, he was over at the United Club at Soldier Field, and then we'll be changing places.
Yes.
He won't be here, though, tomorrow.
No.
We'll be there, though, tomorrow,
yes,
doing the show.
Yes.
Though I knew this when I started the show, that Kevin Warren would love our State Street studio.
Yeah, so you did say that.
Right across the street from the Chicago Theater on State Street, that great street. And he is here right now, and he looked at us during the break, and he goes, "You guys are here every day?"
Yes.
And we said, "Yes, we are." And what, Kevin, tell the world what you think of this studio.
I absolutely love it. I mean, I wish I could have an office here. I mean,
we can.
I love this city. I mean, that's the thing of it is, I think people probably thought I was making this up, but they understand. I live downtown. I love the passion, train here, the people. I mean, this is the best job in the world to be able to people watch like this and do your job on ESPN. Doing radio, it's amazing.
You're doing more important stuff than the two of us are doing.
I don't know. This is you're doing God's work here. It's pretty awesome.
Yeah, right.
I've been by here before, but I've never been in here. And I thought it was just kind of, you know, you sit in here occasionally, but this is where you
every day.
You know what I'm gonna do? I'm gonna come by sometime.
Yes, open invitation.
Yes, yeah. Anytime you want.
Yeah,
you may come down here and you wanna get after one of us, especially maybe the guy on the left of you, more than the guy on the right.
No, I like it. Yeah. I love it.
You know, fans
walking by waving. I'm going to come over here sometime on a just casual and just sit in here and hang out with you.
That's awesome. Open invitation. Right now on the screen, every time you turn around, there's something Bears related.
Yes.
Do you enjoy the attention?
You know, I'm not on social media, so people bring stuff to me, but I think there was a few individuals had said that we were having the press conference today on the stadium so we could bury it. I'm like, you can't bury anything in the NFL now. But it's interesting. I mean, we're the center of the NFL, you know, universe, especially tomorrow with the number one pick, the number nine pick, and some of our offseason moves, our announcement on our stadium. So it's a good position to be in, not necessarily just to get publicity. That's not in our DNA, but to be able to tell our story, and we have the best fans in the world. So it's an exciting time. I thought today went well, and looking forward to tomorrow.
Yeah, you looked at us in the break, and you said, "How do you guys think it went?" And you just said you thought it went well. Like, your honest opinion, do you think it went as well as it could have gone? And then there's the governor who is skeptical. How do you react to his skepticism, and how much have you talked to him?
Yeah, the answer to your question, I am my harshest critic. I was like that as a student. I was like that as a student athlete. I'm like that as a father. I'm like that as a husband. I'm like that as a friend. And today was an A. I mean, we really were. So there's not anything that I would change from today. I thought it was natural. I thought the crowd was great. I thought the video was fantastic. The sound sounded good. The questions were fair by the media. I thought we answered them well. I think the biggest takeaway for me, which was my whole goal, my prayer this morning, was for us to go there and to be able to have a transparent conversation of what this project looks like. So people can look. You know, there's one thing. You can look and say, I don't agree with it. I don't agree with the Bears getting any amount of the ISFA dollars, or I don't agree with the way it's structured in regards to infrastructure costs. But at least I want people to look and say, at least now what we understand what it is. And that's why I said we have to decide who we are. Do we want to be a kind of middle tier city, or do we want to be a progressive, advanced city? Do we want to be Chicago, what we stand for? And all this stuff that we stand for, we talk about, this is a chance for us to come together and do it.
What about the governor's side of things? Have you talked to the governor, and what would you say to his skepticism?
Yes, I have the utmost respect for Governor Pritzker. I thought he's done an incredible job. He's a steward of this state. He's done a wonderful job, and he's smart. He's a smart governor. But I look forward to having an opportunity to discuss this, you know, with Governor Pritzker and his advisors, to be able to walk through the issues. I mean, anytime you do something as progressive and great, people are not going to look at it and check the box in 2 minutes. They're going to have conversations. They're going to push back. They're going to go through. That's what makes them great leaders. And I love that dialogue, so long as it's all above the board and there's it's transparent. And so I look forward to the conversation. But as you could tell today, we spent a lot of time and energy talking with elected officials on a local and state level. And our plan is transparent. Whether you agree with it or don't, it's straightforward. And we have an opportunity to do something that's transformative here in Chicago.
Are you surprised at all in any way about the relationship that exists between those that are running the city versus those that are running the state?
You know, as at my point in time in my career, in my life, I'm never surprised. But I think what I tried to do and articulated today was this is a chance for us to rally around things together and do something that's special. And that's why I asked the question. And it was not a fictitious or facetious question. I asked the question. Tell me the last time that a private company put in $2 billion in the city of Chicago. And forget $2 billion. When's the last time we put in a billion? It doesn't happen. And so for us to be able to step forward and to say this is how much we love and respect this city, to build a stadium that we don't even own, that the public will own, to be able to have events, and you saw the renderings of it, to bid for a Super Bowl. Chicago has never hosted a Final Four. Chicago has never hosted a Super Bowl. So for us to have an opportunity to do that is really special. And otherwise, we're going to continually fall behind, and cities like Las Vegas and Minneapolis and Milwaukee and Orlando are going to continually pass us by.
What do you say to the folks that say, listen, putting in $2.3 billion of the Bears' money is a good thing, but with the skyrocketing appreciation of the asset that is a National Football League franchise, mm-hmm. why not finance the entire project as a team?
I mean, you know, one of the things, I can't remember the last time that a company, whether publicly or privately owned, who added that much investment or that much value to an environment started to pay for their own roads and started to pay for their own infrastructure. I mean, that's part of it. That's why we collect taxes, is to be able to come into public-private partnerships to do different things. One of the things that's critical here is that our investment will not only inure to the benefit of the Bears, but it will unlock tax dollars that will benefit the city and the state in areas that they can't benefit from now. And I think one of the things that our listeners need to understand, and I'm sure they do, and when the mayor said it, like, this is not new taxes. It's not, if we do this stadium, then all of a sudden money that was earmarked for summer lunchtime meals or hot meals for students are now going to go away. That doesn't exist. I mean, they're dollars. They're federal dollars that are earmarked to be able to do projects like this. Because anytime you have construction, it creates jobs, it creates opportunities. I mean, that area, and I can say it, I live downtown, so there's certain things I can say that maybe others can't. You go in and around Soldier Field right now, the traffic is congested. Forget about the Bears. I mean, there's some deferred maintenance that probably should have been done 10 years ago that hasn't been done. And this is an opportunity for us to come together and do something special for the city.
So, and then I would follow up with that by saying, traffic is so congested there anyway. And even with improvements, the lake is still to the east. The railroad tracks is still to the west. Why does the stadium have to be there?
I mean, the stadium, one of the reasons, every one of these projects, wherever they are, whether you're in Buffalo now or Nashville or even when we were in Minnesota, all these stadium projects are a challenge. And I was taught to focus on the area and the environment that provides the least challenge. And so when we looked at this, we've already been in this area for 100 years. We've been here. And so for us to slide a little south, it seems like that's the best area because we've been there. And we looked at probably 12 different locations in and around the city. And for what we need with our footprint on a football stadium, what's required for Super Bowl and other mega events, it didn't work. I mean, we looked at U.S. Steel. We looked at Michael Reese. We looked at the 78. We looked at Lincoln Yards. We looked at every single one of these places. I know those properties in and out, and I can tell you why they don't work. If we want to be in the city of Chicago, which we do, and if the city of Chicago wants us in the city of Chicago, which we hope they do, the best location is the museum campus.
And so, and I, like you've mentioned, like you're cool with people saying, I don't like right now what they're saying, or I don't agree. So I want you to address those people. We did a poll question today about will this stadium be built? Do you believe after hearing the Bears presentation, will this get built with all the challenges ahead with state lawmakers, Friends of the Park, for instance? Right now, only 34.6% of the people believe that it will be built. What do you say to the 65.4% of the people who don't believe this is going to get done?
I mean, sometimes the worst thing you can do in life is inactivity. And we have to be realistic here. There is not a future for us in Soldier Field. I mean, for us to really get down the brass tacks. At some point in time, this lease is going to expire. But we cannot continue to play at Soldier Field much longer. And so we have to ask ourselves, if we're not playing at Soldier Field, and if we're not playing at a stadium that's in the South Museum, where do we play at in Chicago? And if we're not playing in Chicago, then that means the Bears aren't in Chicago anymore. So this is not something where Soldier Field that we put in $100 million and fix it. The guts and bones of that stadium is 100 years old. I mean, the infrastructure. There is no stadium that has gone under, like, two major renovations. They've renovated, like, Lambeau Field, you know, here and there. But I would ask people, and I would say 35% out of the chute, just hearing it today is pretty high. I mean, because if you get 10 people together and tell them that, you know, a restaurant across the street is giving away free food, some people would come up with a way that something must be wrong with it. So I say that to say one of the many things I love about the citizens of Chicago and the Bears sports fans is the fact they're very educated and they do their homework. But I think when you really look at it, I would ask back to them, what's the alternative? So if this stadium project is not approved, the question I would ask back is, tell me where the Chicago Bears play.
Well, what would you say if they said Arlington Heights? You own that.
Yeah, but again, you know, think about this. If you love Chicago, think about the amount of revenue and business that building it downtown does. The majority of our season ticket holders live in the northwestern suburbs. They end up coming into town. And so you have to think of this from a holistic standpoint. And again, none of these have right answers. None of them are easy answers. That's why you do it once every 30 or 40 years is because these are complex. But these are things that wake me up in the morning that I get so excited about it, to be able to come together to work together. And it's not about who won the negotiation. It's about what can we do to make this city special and to keep it special.
Speaking of a negotiation, what if it's you don't get the same warm reception from Springfield, from the governor, as you did from the city here? Is there wiggle room? Is there a negotiation that you're willing to make with him if you have to kick in more private financing?
You know, one of these things that I would always say, and I don't even say the ribbon cutting, but in Minnesota we had a saying that until that first game, when the ball is kicked off, you know, there's always movement on these deals. And I just know at the end of the day, you look at Daniel Burnham, he was ahead of his time. To think that he designed that in 1933. So for me, the Bears have never owned their own stadium that they could call home. And not that we would own this one. I mean, we'd put in the money and it'd be owned by the, you know, park district, basically the city. But, you know, the Chicago Bears deserve to have a stadium that we can come together. And like I said, this is a really special place. And we have an opportunity to do something that's special here. And if other cities, Nashville, Buffalo, they figured it out, you mean to tell me there's not enough talent here in the state of Illinois and then in the city of Chicago to figure this out?
The $2 billion, you know, commitment that the Bears are willing to make, you guys are willing to make, is not just a friendly gesture.
Oh, no.
Does it also entitle you to as an NFL franchise going forward with all the different events that may take place?
Yeah, I mean, those are things we'll have to continually work out to come to some agreement. But it would entitle us to, you know, naming rights and revenues on our game days. And those are things we have to work out. But I come to it with clean hands. I come to it like from Minnesota. And trust me, there was It'd be interesting in Minnesota if we had taken that poll. At this point in time, it probably would have been in the teens.
Really?
But we ended up figuring out to get it. And what happens? They end up paying off the bonds 23 years early. Their stadium, U.S. Bank Stadium, is still regarded as the best stadium in the National Football League. They have a great home field advantage with it. So it's just one of those ones and this is a tough time. I mean, there are people there who don't know where their meal is coming from. There are people who are sleeping on the street tonight, and we're talking about, you know, stadiums. So these are champagne problems, champagne issues, but they're also champagne opportunities, and I think this is what can help make this city just special. And the other thing about that, starting tomorrow, we're building an incredible, special, strong, young football team.
Mm-hmm.
And you can tell if we stay healthy, we're going to be a force to be reckoned with over the next couple of years in the National Football League.
Speaking of that, have you had a chance to sit down with Caleb Williams?
Yes.
And what did you think of the meeting?
Everything that I thought he would be and everything that I hoped he would be. And, I mean, I had a background because when we were working on the expansion with USC and UCLA and have a lot of common threads there. But he is physically gifted. You know, he's a talented young man. He's mentally gifted. And then there are a lot of individuals in the draft that are physically and mentally gifted. So, you know, and we've had a chance to meet a lot of them during the top 30 visits. And so I'm looking forward to see how everything falls tomorrow and what decisions, you know, Ryan Poles makes tomorrow. But I'm confident in his plan. I support him. I think he's doing a fantastic job. And it'll be exciting to see whoever we draft tomorrow. It'll be exciting to see who that is.
Back to the stadium real quick for a second, because I know you made a point today that this will not disrupt your team playing at Soldier Field while
Correct.
Construction would be going on. How would you alleviate some of the concerns of the existing fans or the existing season ticket holders who say, hey, how in the world will I be able to get in and out of the building while there is construction going on next door, parking, and getting access to the building at all? How would you tell them that things will be okay?
Well, we have some traffic experts who are going to work with us. We've started to engage them. And I tell people, you know, you look at the alternative. Northwestern Stadium is under construction. I was on, what team was I affiliated with? Maybe the Lions, when we played the Bears in
Champaign.
I mean, you know, you ask a season ticket holder, would you rather drive to Champaign or kind of work with us on figuring out parking here? I mean, progress has a little pain in it, and we understand that. It's no different, and I've had to catch myself. You know, I live downtown. I commute to Hallis Hall and Lake Forest every day. And there were first couple of days when they were working on the freeway that I started grousing to myself.
Welcome to our club. Yeah.
And I caught myself. I said, wait a minute. But the end result in this is going to be well worth it. So, you know, the alternative would be for us to play in Champaign. But I think for us to be able to build this stadium and stay in it and to be able to continue, you know, play at Soldier Field, I think that would be special.
Yeah.
Well, where will the parking be? Because we were looking at the renderings. Where will the parking be when finished? Is that all underground?
There will be some underground, like it is on the north lot. We've talked about potentially double-decking the south lot, putting parking into the south lot. So there are different options and opportunities that we'll work on. So we have alternatives. As you can tell from the renderings, we spent a lot of time, you know, working on this and trying to figure it out.
What about for our fans? These are questions that we've gotten throughout the day that people want us to ask you. PSLs.
Yep.
Will people have to, who paid PSLs 20 years ago, will they have to pay PSLs for their seats again?
And the answer to that is, again, all of these ticket-related items we have to work through. We don't have an answer for PSLs. We'll do the right thing, but we don't have a plan as of yet. And as things become clearer and we get a direction as far as what will happen with our stadium, then we're going to come up with a plan.
Time is of the essence. You've said that quite a bit, because every day that you wait, is the cost goes up.
Yeah.
What's realistic with regard to finding common ground with the state legislature and then being able to get a shovel in the ground and get this project going?
I mean, I stand firm that 2025 needs to be the target, because it's about 36 months from the time we put a shovel in the ground. And if we're in the ground in 2025, we can get people to work, and then we can kick off in our stadium in 2028. I mean, Every year this goes by, it's hundreds of millions of dollars. And you just look at the escalation of costs. I mean, when we built, you know, U.S. Bank Stadium, you know, we were talking about $1.1, $1.2 billion. And that seems like a long time ago, you know, 8 years ago. But it's not really that that long ago. These projects are expensive. Mm-hmm. And so I just think the time is, we don't want to rush, but the time is for us to be really smart about it. And we need to become solution-based.
What about the attendance? I think it's 65.
60-based, similar to Soldier Field now, 5,000 SROs, and we can go up to 70,000.
Okay, you could go
for big events, yes.
Okay.
Like Super Bowl.
So Waddle and I have come up with an idea. We heard that the field is going to be turf. Is it because
we're actually exploring, well, turf as of now, but we're actually exploring ways. Is there a way for us to have grass?
Oh, this we've is got our an idea. Answer,
we came up with this. Yeah. So we are going to go on Shark Tank because we have developed this through the years.
Yeah, right.
Maybe you can get behind this. We have floating barges on Lake Michigan.
Wow.
Where we're going to grow our own Bermuda grass.
I like that.
And it will
you
be
wheel
grown,
the field yeah, out, put it on a barge.
On a barge, we'll have three different barges at once on Lake Michigan. And once one is ready, we're going to sail it next to the new stadium. And we're going to wheel it into the new stadium.
Yes. Just like they do in Vegas.
Yeah.
Seriously. They're landlocked. There's no water.
Right. Instead of it being outdoors.
Right.
It's on the lake.
Right.
And then that way you get optimal sun.
Right.
And then maybe when the grass is done, we recycle it by making it a floating beach party out there.
I mean, I love that.
Can't do it in the winter. We get that. Once you get to November, we'll have to work on that.
You can
we'll workshop
in
that.
And in Florida, and you can drive it up. And bring it up there.
Yeah.
We like this better for our economy.
Yeah, right,
this is
like
this
it.
Is all
like
locally
it.
Sourced. Then
I like it.
You know, we
like
can sell this.
Yeah.
We're looking to fix this. and I will say this: the renderings are spectacular. And we had a chance to go to the Raiders Stadium in Las Vegas.
It's spectacular!
What a beautiful stadium that was. And this one looks a little bit like that.
Yeah,
same architect, right?
Same architect, yeah.
And then there's a. Did we notice this correctly? At the top of the fixed roof is a C.
Yes.
It's illuminated C.
Yes. Yeah.
That's like the design there.
At least when I look at the roof, that's what I see.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's intentional, obviously,
right,
though, right?
All that on the roof, and then something will be on the backside of it, yes.
Okay. Yeah. All right. Well, we appreciate your time.
Absolutely,
I appreciate you all. Appreciate everything you do. I love our fans, and hopefully we can continually, you know, increase the support. But we're doing all that we possibly can to make sure that we bring a new home to the Chicago Bears and to our fans and be able to bring in projects here that we haven't been able to do. You're downtown, look around. There's I said it earlier, there are not enough cranes in this city. You go to places like Tampa, we played down there.
Nashville's crazy.
Nashville's crazy.
Yeah.
And
mm-hmm.
And those cities are progressing, and we need to be very conscientious of what is going on here. Tomorrow's going to be excited.
Yeah.
I'm looking forward to our new talented players that come in our building, and I'm looking forward to it.
We joked with you, too, when we saw you at the Combine, that Wilbon won this sort of bet we had, that he said it will always be built downtown. Mm-hmm. So he won that. But we've always told him that the Bears will get a Super Bowl.
Yep.
Yes.
He's refused to believe this.
100%. We get a new stadium, we'll get a Super Bowl.
Yeah. You need to tell him that.
He's
coming up next.
At least we can bid for it, but I'm confident that the love and respect for this city and for the McCaskies and the Bears, we'd be blessed with a Super Bowl. But all we want to do is have a chance to bid for one.
Kevin, thanks for joining us.
Enjoy tomorrow night. It'll be fun.
It'll be good to be able to sit there and relax and be there as a support system for Ryan. Like I said, he's done wonderful, and I'm just excited about this draft. I'm excited about this training camp, and I'm excited about this season.
Yeah. Any news on possible Hard Knocks or anything like that?
No news. Yeah, no news yet.
No news on Hard Knocks.
Yeah.
Are you guys opposed to it?
You know, I wouldn't say I'm just looking forward to tomorrow.
Okay. All right.
And remember, the invitation's always open.
Yeah.
If you
want
to come down, spend some time with us.
And you can
by.
Talk anything with us.
I appreciate you.
Yeah. Kevin, thank you.
Right,
thanks
you.
So much.
Thank
There's
you.
Bears President Kevin Warren. Waddle and I back with Michael Wilbon coming up next.
Uh-oh. Guess what day it is? Guess what day it is? Huh? Anybody? Guess what today is?
It's Wilbon Day.
Woo-hoo!
Chicago native. Michael Wilbon, host of Pardon the Interruption with Waddle and Sylvie on ESPN Chicago.
I always love our conversations with Mike. I get to talk to Mike all by myself because Sylvie had to leave for an event that he is hosting. Mike is brought to you by HawkAuto.com, Ford, Chevy, Chrysler, Dodge, Jeep, Ram, Subaru, Cadillac, Mazda, and VW, all in one place. HawkAuto.com, where Chicagoland saves big. Mike, we just had a very nice conversation with your friend Kevin Warren. How are you doing today?
I'm good. I'm anxious to hear about this. Don't tell me. Sylvie's so scared of talking to me today that he bailed?
No, I believe he's got an event for the V Foundation. He actually extended his time here in the studio so that he could be part of the conversation with Kevin Warren. But, he was constantly changing, and, but he's got something more important than just talking to me.
Of course.
Not so much you, but for me.
Well, how did it go with Kevin? That's what I want to know.
We had a nice conversation, and I'm really interested, Mike, because, first of all, like, we've had this banter back and forth about where the stadium was going to be built and the intentions from up at Halas Hall with the McCaskies and with Kevin Warren now in charge. And obviously you've been right all along, and the presentation today was about the renderings were spectacular.
Unbelievable.
They were.
I've been looking
at them
staring all day, Tommy.
Yeah. I would ask you, Mike, because you are an advocate of the stadium being built on the lakefront. When you factor in the financials, how do you feel about the public having to be on the hook for the funding to the tune of about 50% of the project?
Yeah, I never know about that stuff. I'm not a policy wonk. I have mixed feelings about all of that, no matter where it is. I live in a state where Maryland, where the state built two stadiums. Like, you know, the Camden Yards place that everybody raves so much about, and the Ravens, which a lot of people think is the best of the modern football stadiums. Those were publicly funded. I have issues with some of that stuff, and that. You know, but here's the thing. That piece of it wasn't going to change whether it was Arlington or the lakefront, because last I checked, Arlington hasn't ceded from Illinois to be part of Michigan or Ohio. So that ain't changing. It's still, not only that, I was a little surprised to find out early on in that discussion is Cook County. I thought it was Lake County. But anyway, I don't know. And I don't know enough about how that happens. I don't know what gets taxed, who gets taxed. I know people are often up in arms. I know in California they say they won't do it, yet stadiums are being built in California too. And I spend a lot of time in California. God knows a good amount of my tax dollar goes to California because so many shows are done there for ESPN. But I don't know. I don't know what to make of that. I don't know. I just know that, you know, just because politicians say one thing publicly doesn't mean they're even saying the same things privately.
Well, the Bears,
you know, there ain't a politician in Illinois that doesn't want a Super Bowl, even though I don't, that doesn't want all the Big Ten championship games in Illinois. I actually think I do. But I don't know. I don't know. I have to skip over that and listen to people who are a lot smarter than me, who understand whether that can get done, how, when, timely fashion, not. I'm not that political to have any real definitive feelings about it.
First of all, Kevin did confirm to us that, yes, in fact, they will apply for a Super Bowl, and they anticipate getting a Super Bowl when this stadium is built on the lakefront. So he wanted to make sure that I told you that it is going to happen, despite your pessimism about it.
Well, not pessimism, just I don't want it. It's not pessimism. I want an open air stadium. We're not getting that either.
No, you're not. You're not getting that.
I know that. But I'm just saying, I don't want the Packers to be the only, you know, tough guys in the NFC Central, as far as I'm concerned. It will always be called that. I don't want to see that. I don't want to see the Packers be the only team with that. But I know I'm not getting that either. There's a whole lot of stuff I want, but I don't get.
They have.
But I knew I was getting a stadium. If we get one, it's going to be where it should be, which is on the lakefront.
And they have committed to $2 billion plus of an investment of their own money into the project.
Yeah.
And, you know, I asked Kevin as well if, in fact, look, that there is wiggle room here, because the city has been very receptive, and Brandon Johnson, the mayor, and a lot of his people are very receptive to this.
Yes,
it is being met with less enthusiasm in Springfield.
Of course, yes, we know that.
So,
no surprise.
Yes, so the negotiation could still be taking place where maybe they will have to commit more private funds for this stadium.
Yes. Everything will be on the table to get this thing done. I'm reminded of a jingle that was popular when I was a kid, and I don't know why it came up to promote the state of Illinois. But it was a jingle when I was a kid, Tommy, and it went something like this. Just outside your own back door, there's a place called Illinois. And it was basically speaking to Chicago to say, hey, you know, you people don't get everything you want. There is another, you know, there's a lot more territory than just Chicago. And so, you know, we are advised by that. There's always that struggle. There's always that fight. There's always that tug of war, back and forth, pull and push. I'll listen to it. I'll follow it.
Yeah.
I mean, I know that they said the stadium in Evanston wasn't going to be built. Northwestern was never going to make it because Evanston was going to oppose it to such a degree, which they did, but it's being built. I follow these things, Tommy. I don't get really sidetracked by them because, listen, I got somebody that grew up in the same household that I did who's a lot smarter than me who is involved in that tug of war often with states and the public works that people want built, but there's opposition to it. My brother Don, being a J.P. Morgan person, and so I listen. I don't know enough to ever get passionate about this.
Is he willing to share his perspective on the timing of this? Because time is of the essence, as has been relayed to us by Kevin Warren, because, you know, as he has said, the longer you push this out, the more expensive the project gets for them for the state as well. But how likely is it that they will find common ground with Springfield and that this thing can be done?
That's what I have no idea.
Because remember, the people of Kansas City voted it and said no.
Well, but if you read, look, I'm not equating that with Kansas City or this project or with Washington moving the Capitals and the Wizards. There were some things that were never a go. There were never a go. There was no support from anybody. Washington never had support. The place they wanted to move never supported it. So that was not going to happen. And for whatever time we spent on it, I think you guys asked me once on the air, maybe it was off air, and I said to you, that's not going to happen. And Kansas City, from what I understood, was never going to happen. So that was that. This is a different thing. Is it going to happen? I don't know. Don't know enough about it. I hope it happens. I hope I live long enough to see that happen, able to sit and watch games of all kinds and events of all kinds at our new arena, I hope.
Okay, on non-stadium related issues, I know you're not a huge fan of the lead up to the NFL draft, but do you have a little bit of juice flowing now, knowing that you're just a day away from the Bears selecting a quarterback first overall and making another pick at 9 that could affect their season as well?
I can tell that you've been too busy to watch Tony and me this week. All I have done is obsess over the draft for a week.
Oh, okay. Excellent.
Every bit of minutia. We just had Booger McFarland on today. I was asking him, as a devotee of the 80s teams that won but threatened to win early, and even in the 70s when Dan Hampton was drafted. I think Dan Hampton's a year ahead of me, so maybe he was drafted in 79.
I think he was 79.
What's that? Am I right? Am I correct?
I think
about
so.
That?
I think it was 79. Wrong, but it sounds
so. Right. So Dan Hampton, people won't remember. They remember a defensive end by the time Dan got deep into his Hall of Fame career. But Dan Hampton played in the middle early in his career. And this guy, Byron Murphy, is that his name in Texas?
Yes, from Texas.
Like, I look at him and I'm thinking, he's the kind of guy that there's no sex appeal to his name being announced, but he can change your football team. He can take you in a direction because I'm being an old man now. I'm going back to Dan Hampton because Dan Hampton did. Dan Hampton wasn't the first building block because Walter was that. And some other linemen were that who came before Dan Hampton. But on that defensive side, on Buddy Ryan's defensive side, you know, I guess Mike Hartenstein was already there, but Dan Hampton changed that. And I look at a guy like this kid from Texas and I wonder. So, yes, I am neck deep like a lunatic in every possible pick we could have trading down. Would I like to see us trade down and maybe get a second or a third round pick and wind up with a center or a guard and Worthy, the receiver from Texas. I got every combination I have stressed out over every day. I woke up thinking about this stuff at like 4 in the morning a couple of mornings ago. So no, this is not the usual me, Tommy, that hates the draft, hates the run-up, all of it.
Yes.
I hate all of it, as you know.
Yes.
I love this, and I will never love it again after this, because we better be good for 10 years, and then I'll be dead, so it won't matter.
I will tell you this. You were the first person to told us, don't worry about Caleb Williams, the person.
I told you.
No, that's what I mean. You told us that.
Yeah.
Obviously you already knew this from knowing his family, but
yeah.
Was there anything and that
him.
You saw through the interviews he's done or... The interview he did with Ryan Clark on The Pivot that just kind of reinforced it.
I didn't see any of that. I didn't need to see any of it. I have history with the people who taught this kid when he was 14 and 16.
Yeah.
His teachers are my son's teachers. His guidance counselors, his school principal, his dean of students. I got all that. I don't need confirmation. Caleb Williams is a rock solid kid. Child, now young adult, now adult, and so are his parents and his family and the environment he comes from. I didn't need confirmation of that. So I paid no attention. I spent no time on that. If the Bears were going to draft Caleb Williams, it was going to have nothing to do with any of that. So now we get to, whether or not the Bears are the place that he can flourish and develop in the way that you hope any professional quarterback can develop. I like almost all the moves Ryan Poles has made. I like having the two veteran receivers who clearly are like mentor type guys who
yes.
are up for that assignment. They've already demonstrated it. I like the attitude that the franchise has said, hey, we're going to nurture you. We're not going to bring a bunch of people in five at a time. We're going to get on with the business of developing and nurturing you. I'm all down with all that. And as I said originally and repeatedly, I wanted it to work with Justin Fields. But if it wasn't going to work with Fields, I'd be the first one buying a Caleb Williams jersey, and that is still the case.
Yes. I think Ryan Poles, as you intimated, has done a really nice job building a good infrastructure
yes.
for
yes.
a young quarterback to step into. A little bit of put the Bulls to rest conversation here.
Mm-hmm.
Anything surprise you in what you saw against the Heat? And I guess now what?
I was really disappointed in the Heat effort or non-effort. I was really disappointed in that. I saw Arturas' reaction the next day. Maybe I've been too patient. I don't know. I mean, look, this is people can say whatever they want. And you and I are in the business of talking and listening and saying stuff ourselves. So we're in that business. I don't care what people are talking. I don't care. You have to scout worldwide and come up with a player. The Houston Rockets have done it. They came up with Shingun, for mispronouncing. They came up with a guy who looks like he might be the next Joker. They did it. So you have to do it too. You've got to come up with that, Bulls. That's the deal. And you might have some of that, like there's no way I would have kept, if it's true, and I'm told it is, that they turned down two draft picks, first round picks for Caruso. You can't make that call. You can't do that if that's true. So you got to have as many draft picks. Look at Oklahoma City. Look what they do. They go out, they amass all the draft capital they can. They go out and scout better than anybody. And then they execute that part of it, and they have the picks, the resources available to make a deal if there's somebody they want to supplement that. That's it. It's not about signing somebody. It's not about not getting LeBron in 2010. It's not about any of that. Draft and trade.
Yeah.
That's the deal. And so the Bulls have got to do that. Anything short of that, you can fire these people and hire new people. It won't matter. Can you go out and find two or three of the best players in the world? Look at Oklahoma City. Look at Jalen Williams. I don't know where Jalen Williams was drafted.
Right.
Did the Bulls have drafted him?
That I don't know, but I made the same statement to the guys a little bit before. I said, look, I don't know some of these guys that are doing fantastic things. I haven't followed
yeah.
them closely,
yeah.
but I want some of these guys. I want our group
yes.
to identify some of these guys who can step into
yes.
Bulls uniforms and make some of these differences.
Tommy, that's the only solution. You have to scout worldwide, and you have to draft with conviction, and then you have to develop. But you got to scout. It starts with that. So I, you know, can they do that? Are they going to, I don't know spending. Like, I don't know if the Bulls devote or is committed to that as much. Because they used to be, the Bulls used to be ahead of this. And the person they decided to boo, fans decided to boo, Jerry Krause. I mean, Jerry Krause did this to the criticism of all kinds of people. Yeah. And he did it successfully anyway. And that's why there was Tony Kukoc, among others. So, anyway, the Bulls story becomes, well, where's the talent?
Yeah.
Is keeping DeMar DeRozan actually a wise thing or not? Is keeping Caruso a wise thing? Look at the story on the Bears side of it, Tommy. It's the same. We got these picks. We have to do the right thing by these two picks.
Yeah.
Or whether the ninth pick is traded down and you wind up with two other, whatever the case is.
Get it right.
You have to procure talent and get it right.
That's
right. In the NBA, it's more important than any place else because there's less put into development than pro football or Major League Baseball with the minor league system. You have to do that right in pro basketball. And the Bulls, you know, they got it right with Kobe White.
You got to get it right more frequently. That's
but not
sure.
with Patrick Williams.
Yeah, that's true. Mike, we got to run. Here's hoping you enjoy what transpires tomorrow night. It should be fun. Bears are at the center of the NFL universe. So enjoy what you see tomorrow. Thanks, buddy.
I'm gonna enjoy it. Thanks, Tommy. Talk to you soon.
Take care. Michael Wilbon joins us every week. Always enjoy our conversations. When we come back, we'll wrap up, which was a busy day. We'll get you set for tomorrow. Also, White Sox and Twins at the top of the hour. That's all next.
Listen to us now, live on the ESPN Chicago app. Listen to the show in HD at 100.3 HD2 FM. Listen now on ESPN 1000. This is Waddle and Sylvie, ESPN Chicago, Chicago's home for sports.
And by the way, this portion of the Waddle and Sylvie show brought to you by Steinhoffels. I told the guys this morning when I joined Cap and Jonathan, I am so ready. There's a shelf life for the lead up for the draft. And I think Michael Wilbon agrees with this sentiment. I'm so done with all of the mocks. I'm mocked out. And
You're ready to rock out with your mock out?
I'm done with all of that. I'm ready for the picks to be made. I'm tired of all the conjecture and all the speculating and all that crap. And it's time to talk ball tomorrow. And I can't wait for it. Today was the day to talk about the stadium. Tomorrow we'll have a great opportunity to be out at Soldier Field and talk about the draft as the Bears will pick first and more than likely ninth if they don't move from that spot.
I am so excited that they have a ninth pick as well. Because we all know, even Kevin Warren admitting that Caleb Williams is going to be the pick today with you guys about an hour ago, you know, it's going to be a great day. But to have also the anticipation of what goes down with that second pick also is a nice little...
Absolutely, it's a
nice
bonus.
It's a great bonus prize as a Bears fan.
We didn't hear, we had a busy day. And before we get out of here for White Sox and Twins, what were your guys' impressions of what you heard either from the press conference today out at Soldier Field or from Kevin Warren or when he joined us just a few moments ago?
Well, I will say the renderings we knew were going to be great. And if you look at the pictures
were spectacular.
The video that they put forth, it's on ChicagoBears.com. If you haven't seen it, looks like, it's going to be great. And so for, you know, $2.3 billion that they're asking, you would hope that they're going to give you an image that is great. However, I will say, listening to Kevin Warren talk to you and Sylvie, I thought that was actually the best part of the day for the Bears. I know he gave them an A for the presentation. I think they may have lost some people and turned some people off with the way it went down. Now, I know Kevin said that, you know,
it felt like a political rally in a lot of ways.
Yeah, and I know that's the job and the gig. You're going to sell people on what you want and your vision. But ultimately, I think what he just gave us there is the best chance for the Bears to get approval from the city and the state is Kevin Warren sitting down with people face to face and trying to sell that vision. That today what we just saw there. And if you missed it, check out the YouTube page, because that was, I thought, the best foot forward for the Bears is Kevin
Warren. I felt the same way. And not just being selfish and arrogant, saying that I thought the message was better with us than it was earlier, but I felt the same way. If you had to vote on Sylvie's web poll question, will this project get done on the lakefront, what would you say? I said yes.
I think things get done sooner or later. Prior to that conversation I just heard from him, I would have said no. And they're going to have to build a stadium somewhere. So I don't think in its current iteration, what they presented today, it will go down. But he knows there's going to have to be some negotiation going forward. So I think ultimately they will get something done. I'll be curious to see how much of the bill the city and the state will be footing.
Yeah. Yeah, Tyler? I think ultimately something gets done. I don't think it'll look anything like what we saw today. And that's the other thing, too, with renderings now is, like, renders are more like triple-doubles in the NBA to me. I'm no longer impressed by them because they're all, like, it happens all the time. You see them all the time. They all look the same pretty much at this
We've
point.
We've
seen
like, several, too.
Like, everything looks like a replica of Allegiant Stadium right now. Every single, like, the Titans did the same thing. I think the Bills have something somewhat similar, so... Yeah, I'm not impressed by the rendering so much, but I do think ultimately something gets done, but it's not going to look anything like what we saw today.
Yeah, I agree with you. And I don't know when it'll get done, but I think something will get done. A little baseball news for you. We talked about this a little bit earlier. We'll hit on this tomorrow as well. Cubs outfielder Cody Bellinger has two fractured ribs and is heading to the injured list. Craig Council let everybody know that. We'll build on that tomorrow, but we'll be out at Soldier Field mostly talking about the Bears and their draft. They pick first and ninth, but coming up next, it's the White Sox and the Twins for Meller and for Tyler and for Sylvie. It's been a good day. We talked to Ryan Clark. We talked to Michael Wilbon, and of course, we talked to Kevin Warren. Enjoy White Sox and Twins. It's up next.